I've mentioned to you before about the milk order story with my old job, right?
The milk order story? You have not.
Okay, so it's there's not much of a story. It's just that when I was away for a few months in my old office, it was a small enough office. There's about 20 people. But while I was gone, they had to like half the milk order for the office. Because like half of the milk that was being drank in the office or more was just me constantly drinking tea that was really milky all day.
Oh, shit. That is,
yeah,
okay, that is a problem.
I mean, that's
probably one of the milder ways you can get in trouble with work.
It's drinking all of the milk.
Over an addiction, yes.
In fairness, most of the people, there was like one of those coffee pod machines, and most of the people were like just drinking that without any, you know, additional milk or anything, so.
As is right and good and proper.
Anyway, let's record a podcast. Hello and welcome to Journey of the Monkey King with myself, Priva, and my friend MJ.
Yo.
So we're on chapter 51. We're on to volume 3.
Wow. Okay. We are more than halfway through.
We are more than halfway through officially. Yep. I'm sure people are getting sick of us saying that.
True.
So
we are more than 50% of the way through.
Yes. So
that makes it better.
In the last episode, chapter, I guess they're basically the same thing for us. Wukong got his arse kicked and his iron rod stolen and ran away.
This does not happen very often.
No.
I imagine he is not happy.
Has he had the iron rod stolen before? Specifically?
No. The ass kicking doesn't really happen very much either, but the iron rod has got to be oof. Although, like, the guy is a walking weapon on his own.
Yeah, well, he's
a walking army on his own.
He still retreats after this. And while he's licking his wounds, he realizes something. The great king, One-Horned Buffalo, recognized him. Because while they were fighting, he made a comment about Wukong having caused havoc in heaven.
Yeah, although that could be a description applied to any attendee of the Peach Festival.
I think that's more just a description of Wukong. Well,
I mean, he would be at the extreme end of the scale.
Like, okay, well, I guess, like, the other two lads were banished, but they, like, broke a cup. I just remembered what Baji's one was, actually. I'd forgotten. I was like, they were minor in comparison. I was like, oh, wait, no, actually, Wu Jing's one was minor.
No. Yeah.
Just Wu Jing's one.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he heads up to heaven and he demands an audience with the Jade Emperor immediately, saying that he thinks that One-Horned Buffalo is some evil star from the region above that has descended to Earth, and he's going to charge the Jade Emperor with not keeping his household under control for this.
Oh, shit.
So, but once he's actually in front of the Jade Emperor, he completely changes tune and starts being really respectful. He's just really rude. Just like, I'm going to kick the Jade Emperor's ass to, like, all the attendants. But then when he actually gets the audience, he just bows and calls him venerable sir, and I'm sorry to have bothered you, but, you know, there's this whole thing with the Tong Monk and you need a bit of help here.
It's that stone face stare.
So,
because Jade is a stone.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I get it now.
It's early on a Sunday and I'm sick.
I'm also...
That's the quality of jokes that you're going to be getting this podcast.
I'm also quite tired. I don't know. It's taken a surprising amount out of me over this weekend of just reading through an entire novel in 2 days, because I borrowed Ring from the library like a month ago.
And ooh, I saw that.
It's due back on Monday, and I only really started reading it on Friday. So, whoops.
Used to devour books in a day, and now it takes you a month, club. Unite.
Yeah. It is interesting. I would say...
Also procrastinators.
It's one of those things where adaptations leave out a lot, which is a good thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I haven't experienced a lot of books like that, but Thank You for Smoking has got to be one of the worst fucking books I have ever read. It's so terrible. The prose is awful. The characterization is terrible. There's this whole one scene where he just pictures every female colleague in his office naked in this sort of weird Renaissance image in a water fountain. It's
right.
Don't read the book.
Maybe yeah, that. What are the big things in Ring is, have you seen like either of the two big film adaptations, the Japanese one or the American one?
I've seen the American one.
Okay, the main characters are a reporter, and then her ex-husband is this like professor. The ex-husband is there anyway. But basically, they're like, those two characters are kind of a combination of three characters from the original novel, where like the main character is a man who's a reporter, and his wife is in it, but she's not in it much, she's just kind of there. And then the other guy who's kind of like the ex-husband character in the film is just this reporter's mate who's like a part-time philosophy lecturer, and in the novel that character like just claims to be a serial rapist.
Oh, hooray.
Like he just like tells the main character about like the various women that he has raped.
That's great.
It's really edgelord bullshit. I think the author intended that like that this is true and this is a true thing about the character, but there's some real fucking Patrick Bateman like I'm cool murderer guy energy off him that just reads as complete fantasy.
I don't know, maybe it's better for translation, but also yikes,
there's a lot in the book that's like I can see why they just completely left this out. Sadako or Samara in the American film, the psychic girl in the tape, is also intersex in the novel. And it's weird about it, as you might expect, and it's left out of most adaptations.
I feel like, a lot of movie adaptations don't live up to the book, and that's kind of a cliche, but sometimes the movie seems to be like a fix-it fan fiction.
Yeah, it's like, I think the author of the novel had like some very good specific concepts that were taken and adapted into films, and then just so much fucking baggage that was just left behind.
Speaking of that
baggage, a good thing.
Speaking of baggage, let's get back to the complicated relationship between Monkey and the Jade Emperor.
Yes. So the Jade Emperor gets perfected Lord Kihan and puts him in charge of looking for any missing deities And he and the Great Sage go check out the four Heaven Gates, the three Forbidden Enclosure, the Thunder Deities, all 33 Heavens, the 28 Lunar Mansions, the seven Mansions of the East, the seven Mansions of the West, the seven Mansions of the North, the seven Mansions of the South, the seven Regulators, and the four Stars of Excesses, but they don't find any God unaccounted for.
The seven Regulators?
Yeah.
Is that elaborated on?
The seven Regulators are actually, yeah, they're the planets. They're the Sun, the Moon, Venus, Jupiter, Mercury, Mars, and Saturn.
I just had godly auditors in my head. And I was like, also that kind of tracks.
Yeah, a bunch of these things are actually named out in full, but I didn't want to put all the names in because I would butcher most of them other than these ones, because these ones are obviously just translated to English.
That's more than fair. That is more than fair. Anyway, apologies for the interruption. Please continue.
That line of inquiry having failed, they head back to the Jade Emperor, who suggests loaning Wukong a few warriors to help deal with the demon. Wukong points out that no one in heaven, Wukong points out that almost no one in heaven is capable of taking him in a fight. So they're probably not much use taking on someone who's had trouble with. And he specifically requests Devaraja Li and Prince Nata, who led the campaign to capture Monkey back in like chapter 5. Do you remember that?
I like how he respects that. I like how he respects him.
Do you remember that? Remember how young we were?
Oh yes. Back in the day.
Back 2 years ago. So much younger.
I've aged, lady. I have aged. I no longer get ID'd buying cigarettes, and that was a whole thing.
Fair.
Like, I actually didn't that much wearing a mask either, and I think my eyes just must be constantly exhausted.
Oh.
But, you know, we're positive about it.
I have a mortgage now, so I've hit a milestone in that regard.
Yep.
Please subscribe to the Patreon. Pay my mortgage.
Well, Quiva has a mortgage. I don't. Please subscribe to the Patreon and help me live.
Go see Hysteria shows in Dublin.
Please. We're all so poor. We're also very poor.
Stand-up does not pay that much.
Or at all. But it's only a tenner. It's only a tenner. It's a profit-sharing collective. More tickets, more money for us in the acts. Please. It's fun, I promise. We got a bunch of 5-star reviews on Google. Actually, from last night, Felix O'Connor, who MCs one of our nights, Token Straight, told everyone that if they left a review, he would read during the break, he would read them out on stage.
Nice. That's a good plot.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were all very, very positive. One he was really angry about because there was a very unflattering photograph of, well, he wasn't angry, he was just like, oh cool, such nice things said about me. And there's a very unflattering photograph of me. Okay, that's cool. That is cool. Someone else said it was the best time a straight guy could have in a room full of LGBTQs. It's like, it was a 5-star review, and it was after the show, so he wasn't doing it just for the airtime, I guess. But it's also, my dude, you can have fun with gay people. You know, it's not, we don't ban fun. We're pretty big into fun.
I'm pretty sure he was just trying to be clever.
I know. And he was English, so
God. Oh, he had a disability there.
Yeah. Jesus. Poor lad. Anyway, podcast. Please come to our shows. Podcast.
Yeah. So Wukong also asks for two Thunder Squires to come as well, so they can hide in the clouds and blast one horn with thunderbolts. Which sounds like a good plan to me.
Amazing.
So they all
head... It's a classic god weapon, really, the thunderbolts.
Yeah.
It's elegant. Doesn't go out of style.
So they head back down to the mountain, and Nata goes up against Horny first, and he...
What?
I made this joke last episode. I know that recording was like a long time ago at this point.
But we were younger then and full of hope.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, recording got delayed for a while, but hopefully this will go out in time anyway.
I leave it in your very capable hands.
Yeah, Nata transforms into a kind of monstrous form with three heads and six arms, each holding a different weapon. He did this last time fighting Wukong as well, but there's a monster cleaving sword, a monster slashing scimitar, a monster binding rope, a monster taming club, an embroidered ball. Do you remember the embroidered ball?
Yeah.
And a fiery wheel.
I also like monster taming club, as if it's like a group of monster enthusiasts who swap tips on training.
Yes, they definitely don't just mean a big stick.
Yeah, but well, I know they do, but I like to live in an alternate reality.
So
where things I like are true.
So these six weapons brandished against the one horned buffalo. What do you think happens next?
Oh, one horned buffalo wipes the floor with them.
Well, do you remember the magic fillet from last episode?
Yeah.
The hash that sucks up magic weapons.
One armed buffalo somehow has one, right?
Yeah, that's he just uses that. And fair. He just uses that and steals all of Nata's weapons. I don't know what the fuck they were expecting to happen, really.
Yeah. It's sort of a when all you have is a hammer, everything's a nail situation, right?
Yeah, but
does that would that fillet work against, you know, monkey army?
Maybe we'll find out.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, I don't know what they were expecting to happen when the guy has this like magic hat that just sucks up weapons, but it just sucks up all the weapons. The two Thunder Squires, Deng and Zhang, don't even bother trying to attack because they don't want their thunderbolt stolen. So the heroes all retreat and regroup. Li says that the demon is very powerful, but Wukong just starts giggling, and he says that Horny is, he's only so-so. It's just the hat, really, that's a threat. And Nata calls Wukong immature for giggling, but he says that if he wasn't laugh, he'd have to cry instead.
Was he giggling at the word horny?
Yes, he could hear me.
Yes.
Calling him that somehow.
Good. Yeah, I mean, he's got a lot of powers.
So Li suggests that only water or fire might work without getting sucked up into the hat. So Wukong heads back to heaven again, and he goes to the fire department to ask Mars, the star of fiery virtue, to come with his soldiers to burn the place down. The fire department being the department in charge of fires, not the department in charge of putting them out.
Okay, that makes sense.
So it's Lee's turn to go try and pick a fight with Horny, and when they go for a few rounds, Demons takes off the hat again to try and steal the weapons, and Li signals Mars to open fire. So Mars unleashes an incredible inferno of fire dragons, fire horses, fire crows, fire rats, fire bows, and fire arrows, and they are all promptly sucked into the hat.
Yeah, I sort of feel like you should have learned about this by now.
Well, they thought fire wouldn't get sucked in for some reason.
I mean, it's sort of magic. creating a magical creature out of fire, I would say, falls under the rubric of that. Also, is this stuff just like stored in the hat now?
I guess.
Okay.
They retreat again, and Wukong figures if fire doesn't work, then water must work, because why not? So he goes up to heaven again, this time to the water department, and he asks the star of watery virtue for help. I don't think they say which, like, planet the star of watery virtue is. I assume, if fiery virtue is Mars, I assume that watery virtue...
Neptune?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what little... I know it's an entirely different system, but astrology.
yeah, it's different school of astrology than we'd be familiar with.
Yeah. Watery virtue, anyway.
Yeah, watery virtue sends the divine king, water lord of the Yellow River, to help out with his chalice, which contains all of the water of the Yellow River, which is like the second biggest river in China.
I feel like this is a fundamental error.
Well, what do you think is going to happen?
I imagine that the one-horned buffalo is going to suck up the entire Yellow River into the TARDIS hat.
That is an interesting theory. So, Wukong's plan is just go provoke the demon again, but instead of even bothering to fight, as soon as he opens his door, Yellow River can just flood the entire cave and drown everyone in it.
Okay.
It's fine if this kills Tripitaka as well, because Wukong knows how to revive him. They've already revived drowned people before. It's fine.
Yeah. What's a little death between friends?
Yeah. It'll bring him, it'll bring him closer to his dad.
Yikes.
But as soon as they try and flood the cave, the demon just holds the hat up. And rather than being sucked in, the water actually just reverses direction and pours out of the cave again. And starts like pouring out all over the mountain. And Wukong is actually quite concerned that the water might do some damage and flood all the rice fields in the area. And he asks Yellow River to retrieve the water. But he doesn't have a clue how the fuck to do that. His job is making water. His job is not getting rid of water.
Not my department, friend. Submit this request.
Yeah,
I like how Wukong is now actually concerned about people who are not Wukong.
Yeah. Guanyin is actually rubbing off him a little bit.
Yeah.
Or maybe Tripitaka or both.
It's growth.
But it's fine anyway. The water drains away into various brooks and ravines, and there's no great disaster, luckily enough. So Wukong finally gets fed up and tries to just go with the plan that you suggested and challenges One-Horned Buffalo to a boxing match.
Mano a mano.
Yep. And everyone just kind of gathers around them and cheers them on for a while.
Fight.
But eventually Nata, Deng, and Zhang get kind of overexcited and rush in to help Wukong, and all of One Horn's imps rush into the other side, and Wukong splits off 50 clones and they all try and swarm the demon together. At this point, he resorts back to his usual trick. He throws the hat into the air and sucks all the Wukong clones into it.
Oh, shit.
Yep.
Oh, shit.
All 50 monkeys just get sucked off.
Something has gotten into you. This is usually my domain.
Look, I'm in a good mood.
Okay. All right. You know what? I'm here for it.
So they retreat yet again and decide, actually, all they need to do is just steal that fucking hat. That's the only, like, issue here. And one of the Thunder Squires says that if they need a thief, well, there's no one better than the Great Sage, which Wukong takes as a sincere compliment.
Why, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that I'm the best thief in the world.
It's so nice. It's so nice to finally be recognized, you know? He's worked for it.
Yeah. Yeah, he's stolen so much. So Wukong turns into a fly and sneaks in looking for the hat, but gets distracted when he sees his iron rod, grabs it, turns back in his true form, and starts murdering his way back out of the cave.
I retract my earlier statement about the character growth.
Look, he was just really excited. He's really excited to have his weapon back.
All right.
I could have gone for an innuendo that time and I did not.
You didn't.
So, if you want to find out what happens after that, you have to listen to the next episode. My money is on the rod immediately getting stolen again because he's a dumbass.
Could be. Could be.
Yeah, I feel like that was a fair, relatively quick one. I don't know, was it?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know what time is, especially right now.
Time is fake.
Fake, yeah. We know this. Social medias and whatnot in...
Yeah. Support us on Patreon. Yes, you'll get a couple bonus episodes of us reading or watching some other Journey to the West related stuff. And it's pay my fun. Mortgage.
Alright.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening.